What's going on, Clippers fans?
Ooh, I think everyone's feeling good today.
Are you there? top half of the Western Conference?
Yeah, what's
up? Because we're sitting at six.
Oh, we're there. We're comfortable right now.
Absolutely demolished the Celtics last night.
Yeah, that was a good time.
Demoralizing victory for them, or for us. But
yeah.
Great stuff there. We're going to get into a little recap of that, and then we've got a preview of tonight's game against the Blazers, which I talked about it a little bit before.
Pivotal.
It's a pivotal game. We're only a half game up on the Spurs. If we lose this one, I think they'll overtake us for six.
Yeah.
So
we're rooting for the Mavs tonight, right?
Yeah, and hopefully the Mavs win and we win. But we'll get into what we need to do to win that game, as well as what could go wrong, give you guys some key matchups to watch for. And then today is Tuesday, which means
Twitter Tuesdays,
every Tuesday. We are live on Twitter. That's at Locked On Clips.
Uh-huh.
We're coming at you every Tuesday, 1:45 p.m. Pacific.
Yeah.
So tune in. If you're ever unable to tune in, send your questions, comments, concerns even to us.
Send us concerns.
To us, and we will do our best to address those on the show. Always love to hear from all of you. So, without further ado, let's get into this thing.
So, Celtics got absolutely housed last night.
Oh, yeah.
140 to 115. Regular old Boston baked beans looked like we were playing out. That's the worst candy, by the way. That's the most points.
I've never had it.
It's awful. It's a candy named after a bean. it was the most points given up by the Celtics since 1997.
Ooh, really?
Which is pretty incredible.
Wow.
Yeah. It's pretty rough. We'll give you guys some quick stats. I mean, star of the night, star of the past, I don't know, it feels like 50 nights. Lou Williams became the all-time leading bench scorer.
So pivotal. So huge.
Giant with a cool 34 points on 14 of 21 shooting.
Yeah.
Like, I mean,
For him is hyper efficient.
Yeah. Crazy efficient. Gala had 25 on 9 of 12 and 4 of 5 from 3. Trez had 20. Seven players in double figures for us. Everyone kind of did their part.
Yeah.
It was, like, offensively, it was fucking great. Oops, excuse me for that curse.
Yeah, it was a team victory. We won in pretty much every category. We out-rebounded them 29-47. Out-assisted them 26-29, much closer.
Those rebound numbers are crazy.
Outscored them in the paint by, like, 18 points. Generated three times the amount of second chance points that they did.
However, lost fast break points.
We did lose on the fast break, which I would not have guessed.
For the Celtics, Terry Rozier led them with 26. Jaylen Brown
had himself a bit of a night.
He had a really good game. He had 22-7. Kyrie had 18, 11 assists, and was a team worst minus 21. someone just asked in the live stream, too late for Bev for Defensive Player of the Year? Yeah, probably.
I just
think it's going to be Gobert.
Yeah, I don't know. It's tough. I think Paul George deserves a little bit of some consideration for that one, too.
That's a hot take. So as a team, we shot 62% from the field,
mm-hmm.
46% from 3 on 28 attempts. I don't know how you beat any team shooting like that.
No.
This was like
no.
a perfect storm for the Celtics. Their effort didn't really seem to be there.
Yeah.
Like,
absolutely.
I mean, our starter shot 71% from three.
Yeah, absolutely incredible.
I don't know how you look at the other team. You're like, all right, let's go against these guys who are making 7 out of 10 threes that they're taking right now.
Yeah. Someone mentioned that Pat Bev locked up Kyrie pretty well. Maybe he could get on the defensive first team. To me, it'd be a crime to not put him on an all defensive team, preferably first. But we'll see.
Someone just said a great joke on the live stream. Paul George sure was defensive about being locked up the other night. Well played, sir.
Okay. All right. just jumping back to the three-point shooting, I guess my biggest, my only problem with the three-point shooting last night, like, obviously we did shoot very well, but only on 28 attempts.
Yeah.
Which, you know, Boston took 8 more than us. They made more threes than us, albeit at a, you know, at a lower percentage for sure.
They
shot 8% lower. So I just think we need to get those up. Like, we should be just with the personnel that we have, especially when we're against defenses like this that aren't really trying to lock us down. There's no reason why we shouldn't be putting up 10 attempts a quarter.
Yeah, I'm okay with.
We just for reference, we took 11 attempts in the entire first half. And someone's saying 28 is league norm for attempts. Yeah, it's average. That's great.
We have Gallo and Chamet, and we have guys who can shots.
We just have guys who can shoot. So
because we were kind of worried about that because the Celtics are in top 10 in attempts and percentage, which is a great place to be, and is kind of the recipe to beat the Clippers.
Yeah,
because we have this. Will and I were kind of talking. We've kind of broken 3-point efficiency, which is great when it works because you take 28 and you win by, I don't know, almost 40 or whatever it was.
Yeah.
But against a team that has really good perimeter defense, like in the playoffs, it could come back to bite us.
I agree.
If we can't
get
those up. Because 46% from three, call me crazy. This is a spicy take. Seems unsustainable.
Very unsustainable, but I don't know. I think it's worth a slight dip in efficiency just for sheer numbers. And, you know, that's not a hot take either. But
do you think kind of Gallo and Lou in the first quarter just overwhelmed the Celtics?
Oh, absolutely. Gallo was hot immediately.
Yeah, he went 5 of 7 in the first.
Yeah.
Lou was 3 of 5. The Celtics didn't win a single quarter.
No. We were so strong all the way through. Even the dreaded third, we outscored them 39-36.
Someone just asked, what is the most realistic expectation for us? I don't know. Getting 3 games off maybe in the first round of the playoffs?
I think if we could jump to the 6th seed, we could be set somebody in the first round.
I would
round.
Love to ruin someone's postseason. Will has a great note here. They used Aaron Baines on Trez Moore.
Yeah.
Brad Stevens obviously listens to the podcast. We mentioned that
100%.
But this didn't work well for them.
No, it really didn't. So I was like really interested in how the centers were going to play out. This hasn't been a favorable matchup for us. Horford does have a really hard time with Trez. Trez plays really well against him, which I don't understand from like a from looking at
aspect.
Yeah, like from looking at it on a piece of paper. I guess he is much younger and more athletic for sure. But just size, you would think that he had an advantage. However, Zubats played a really solid game.
Pretty respectable
Horford.
Game.
So he ended up guarding Horford for 68% of Horford's possessions.
So close.
And held him to 33%. He went 3 of 9, including 0 of 2 from 3. So you know, you can maybe chalk a little bit of that up to shooting, but like this is the kind of guy that Zubats wants to dominate.
Yeah.
And that's what I love about him as a player, is that he wants to challenge everything. And somebody who doesn't play above the rim and isn't trying to bang is not a good matchup for Zubats. And I love that. I love that aspect of his game, especially going into a playoff series.
For sure.
Where you have a guy who can play physical, who loves to play physical.
And will get dunked on. Kind of like Baines.
Yeah.
Baines
do
the same thing. Baines will challenge dunks and gets dunked on.
Yeah,
but
no problem.
It's nice to see him battling for that. The second half was nice. We took 17 threes, which was great, kind of where we want to be, I would say, per half usually. We made 17. In the second quarter, there was that 9-0 scoring run.
And this pretty much capped
the game.
Seemed
like it broke the Celtics.
Yeah, they never really bounced back from that. And it just the lead just continued to swell.
Yeah. Shea looked aggressive. 12, 5, and 3 on 57% shooting, 4 turnovers, which is a little worrisome.
So I guess my biggest problem with Shea's performance is I just want to see these assist numbers going up, especially against a team that's like not trying that hard defensively and we're so handedly
beating.
Carve
them up.
Yeah. Actually, though, on the assist note, Shamet had a couple of beauts, one to Zubats, one kick out in traffic to Gallo for a 3.
That's what's
He had some heads-up moves there.
Wilson Chandler played, which is great. Good to see him healthy. Got
welcome back.
He played like a productive 9 minutes. He had 2, 2, and 1.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know, plus 9.
Yeah.
Should we kind of get into the, you know, it was a good night for us. It was this kind of combination of great shooting, not a lot of effort, especially on the boards from the Celtics.
Yeah.
Our highest rebounders were Green and Zubats, and they only had 7 each.
Yeah.
Which is a respectable amount, but very even distribution of rebounds, I thought, for everybody.
Definitely.
Should we get into some of the bad real quick?
Yeah, yeah. We'll get into a couple of the bad things.
Garrett Temple, 0-4 in 24 minutes.
He's still having
figuring it out.
He's having a lot of issues shooting. He has talked about it in the locker room. I don't have a doubt that he's going to get it figured out. But we'll see.
Yeah. Ty Wallace, 0 points in almost 10 minutes. That's kind of surprising from him.
Yeah. So he was guarded. He had some possessions against Hayward, which I think Hayward is probably a better defender than he is a confident scorer.
For sure.
So I think that that will rattle you a little bit. But yeah, I mean, I would expect a little bit more out of Ty in 10 minutes.
Yeah, exactly. And someone just mentioned on the live stream that we lost turnovers, or we had too many turnovers.
We did lose turnovers. Yeah.
Someone just said Temple is the new Avery. John Cooper just said that. That's not true at all.
I still
don't
think
that's
incorrect.
Don't disrespect my guy Garrett Temple.
I think that is wholly incorrect.
And then Patrick Beverley surprisingly allowed Jaylen Brown 3 of 3 from the arc.
Yeah. And he defended him for 42% of his possessions. I think this was a little bit of a case of it wasn't a situation where Patrick Beverley needed to play lockdown defense on Jaylen Brown. Mm-hmm. I think he probably doesn't think as much of him as like some of the other small forward
that's
kind
the
of
disrespectful
assignments that he's
go
had.
Ahead and shoot.
Yeah, it's like the disrespectful kind of move.
For sure. That's that vet move right there, that vet disrespect. So that kind of wraps up for that blowout. We kind of dominated every facet. After this break, we're going to get into what we need to do tonight against the Blazers. But first, if you're following multiple Locked On podcasts, check out Locked On Net on Twitter and Instagram. All the feeds into one. Mm-hmm. Great on Instagram with the stories. You'll see us on there. Again, that is Locked On Net on Twitter and Instagram. So we got the Blazers tonight.
Yeah.
Going to be probably tougher than last night.
Yeah. We're playing a well-rested Blazers team.
They haven't played since freaking Saturday.
Must be nice.
They played the Suns on Saturday. Questionable for the Blazers are Rodney Hood and Evan Turner.
Okay.
Guess who's out for us? Luke Mbiamute with a knee. Do you want to run through?
Yeah, let's get into a brief history of this, because I actually like this matchup. These two teams, in my mind, are really pretty evenly matched, despite what the standings show. And like, they beat us by 11 one time, but other than that, all the games have only been like two possessions.
We lost the game. The last time we played, we lost by 4, and that was a game when Avery Bradley and Gortat had 0 points each.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. So the first matchup was in November, so a while back. We were still gelling. They beat us 105-116 in Boston. And the bench just couldn't get us out. In Portland. I'm so sorry. In Portland. And the bench just couldn't pull this one out for us. They outscored Boston's bench. I keep saying Boston now. I hope it's just a repeat of last night. So they outscored Portland's bench by like a mere 2 points. And the starters got outscored 62-75.
Not good.
You know, they generated double the amount of second chance points, so rebounding was definitely an issue. CJ went off for 23, Lillard had 25. I feel like with both these guys, you can almost count on them combining for 50 most games.
One of them's going to go off.
Unless you can really lock down one of them.
Yeah.
And they got to the line a lot more than us. We went 15 of 20 to their 26 of 28.
Wow.
So the percentages there were also not great.
Yeah.
Gallo and Lou both put up 20. Shea and Trez both had 19.
I can't believe we lost that game. Oh, Tobias went 2 and 9.
This was a game where Tobias kind of disappeared in the second half, going 2 of 9 and only scoring 6 points. He also didn't really. He got to the line twice.
That was when some of the Tobias slander was happening.
Yeah,
when people were anti-Tobias.
You know, I think there was maybe some clutch issues, but bygones. So we won. We won at the end of November, 104-100. We were able to beat them in Portland.
And the Rose City. Is that the Rose City?
I have no clue.
Oh, something like that.
But we had a rare like quarter three surge in this game. We outscored them 38-16. And they won every other single quarter.
Damn.
Like, by all measures, we probably shouldn't have won this game.
Should have lost that game.
They outscored us in the paint. The bench got outscored 31-44. The big thing though was that they had 12 turnovers to our 4.
Ooh, that's got to be a season low for us.
Yeah,
it's not franchise low.
Yeah,
damn close.
And that's one of those things about this matchup that I like is that they depend obviously so much of their offense is derived from a relatively small backcourt.
Mm-hmm.
And with the length and the defensive prowess of our backcourt, I think that it puts a lot more pressure on those guys
for sure.
That Toby had a great performance in this one, putting up 34-11. Gallo had 17-8-5. And Gortat and Bradley combined for a respectable 10-8-2.
I'm so happy those two guys aren't on the goddamn team anymore.
So Lou had a bit of an off night. He only had 4 points in 17 minutes. He went 2 of 13 from the field.
Was this post the hammy injury?
I believe it was right around that time.
Yeah.
And he didn't get to the line at all.
Someone just said, back to work, go Clips.
Hey,
sorry,
go Clips.
Sorry, you gotta work, buddy.
And we controlled fouls well. We shot 34 attempts to their 10. which was really, really solid. I believe this was the games that Zach Collins ended up fouling out of it because he was kind of torching us for some reason. On that
never
second
a good
unit.
Night when that happens.
And then we lost in December 131 to 127. Big surprise. We had a massive dump in the third. We got outscored 42 to 28 at home.
Damn.
We out rebounded them, got outscored in the paint by 8 points. Starters got outscored 107 to 85.
While never good.
The bench did crush, though. They outscored them.
42-24.
24-42. Toby had 39 and 11.
Career
another
high.
Great performance. Gallo 25, 5 and 3. Shea 24, 2 and 3. Huge game for him.
All of that wasted.
Bradley and Gortat combined for 0, 1 and 1. And you probably won't be able to guess who had the assist and who had the rebound.
Oh, who was it?
Avery Bradley had the rebound. Gortat had the assist.
Man, what a nightmare those two were on the team.
In a combined 40 minutes of play. And no Lou Will to bail us out in this one. So
that brings us up. We can tie the season series tonight, which will be huge in terms of the standings.
Yeah.
What we need to do to win, I've kind of got some ambiguous ones today.
All right, what do you got?
Blazers haven't seen our new lineup at all.
Surprise, surprise. Got
to keep these fools guessing. You know, they don't really know the new wrinkles we have offensively. I'm sure they have a lot of tape they've watched, but it's still a different beast when you get out there.
Definitely.
We have some nice more delay moves with Trez and Lou in the pick and roll, which is fantastic.
Yeah.
I want to see
Not
Shamet.
Not to mention the Shea-Botts connection.
I want to see Shamet getting going early. We got some stuff on Twitter, some people saying they want to see him. They give up 33 point attempts per game, so I'm hoping we can ride the shooting from last night and put up 35 or something like that.
Yeah, that'd be really nice.
Yeah, what else do you think we got to do?
I think we need Shea to have a really strong defensive performance in this one.
100%.
Especially like if he's unable to score well, you know, he's played pretty well against this team so far.
Yeah, he set a career high, I think, last time.
Yeah, yeah. And then he had 19 in another game.
Yeah.
Really solid performance. But if he's able to get some stops, that would be so huge because, you know, Patrick Beverley is going to have his work cut
out
for him.
So he'll need help. He's really good, but he's still going to need
help. He's still going to need
help. Second night of a back-to-back.
The second night of a back-to-back. You know, he's going to get under Lillard's skin.
Someone's skin.
I'm guessing that it'll be on McConnell when CJ's on ball.
Yeah.
McCollum. Sorry, not McConnell.
battle for the boards. We crushed Boston last night pretty much through want to chalk it up to our effort, but they also had a very big lack of effort.
Yeah.
Blazers are a better rebounding team. They're sixth in the NBA in total rebounds. We beat them the last time in the category, but still managed to lose. I just want to see Zoo have a big game. I'd love to see a Trez double-double.
Yeah.
I think that would go a big way for us.
Yeah, hopefully. What if Patrick Beverley puts up a double-double tonight?
That'd be I hope we get a Patrick Beverley double-double of 0, 11, and 12.
That'd be awesome.
And then what's your last one for what we got to do to win?
We just got to control the ball well again. The turnovers have been really close in this game, in these matchups so far, except for obviously the 12-4 performance where we were remarkable with the ball. We just got to put pressure on these guys in the backcourt and the second unit for the Clippers, which is prone to a bunch of turnovers, just needs to control the ball better.
Yeah.
And a lot of that is going to come with just staying composed all the way through. And I think that this is kind of a litmus test for playoffs. I don't want to get I don't want to get too serious about it, but like the intensity of this game is going to be pretty close to like playoff level. Both teams in the hunt for seeding.
I would say I'm glad it's not in Portland.
Yeah.
Watching the game last night, John Cooperman messaged me. He was like, it feels like I'm watching a Celtics home broadcast right now.
Yeah.
Which is very frustrating. So what could go wrong? Just kind of going off what Will said in terms of the bench. They got a little guy on their bench named Seth Curry, the best Curry. he can be a force off the bench. He had 22 against the Suns. He's lights out from three. I think he still might be the number one shooter in terms of percentage. Zach Collins, like you mentioned, can randomly go off against us.
Definitely.
So that could kind of go wrong. And then this is going to bleed into the matchups, but we talked about a little bit. If Lillard and CJ are locked in, it's just going to be a tough night.
It's going to be really hard. Happens. Yeah.
Even if it's not two of them going off, if it's like one and a half, like if Lillard's having a great game and McCollum is just barely at his averages or even a little bit below, they find ways to beat you.
Yeah, definitely.
And that could definitely happen tonight. Let's get into some matchups. I like this Trez versus Cantor one you got on here.
Yeah, so I'm excited for this matchup. Obviously, Cantor was added in free agency. He is, like, per plus minus, the worst defensive center in the league. But offensively, I'm hoping that Trez can get some stops.
Yeah.
Cantor's currently averaging 10, 7, and 1 in about 18 minutes. Where Harrell is averaging 16, 7, and 2. So they're pretty similar in terms of rebounds and assists. Mm-hmm. Obviously, Harrell a little bit better of a passer, but that's in nearly 26 minutes. So Kanter isn't going to challenge Trez at all defensively. Like
Throw that gauntlet down.
I just think that Trez is going to be able to get whatever he wants really inside.
For sure.
I don't think that, like, you know, he might try to go down for like a chase down block or something, but I don't think he's going to give him
lumbering
a whole lot.
Down.
Yeah. I just don't think he's going to give him a whole lot of pressure. So what this comes down to really for me is if we can see Trez get some stops, and that, you know, that'll neutralize a part of their bench that they, you know, specifically were trying to address. So
John Cooperman just had a good point. He said we're kind of due for a bad game. I kind of feel that. I kind of agree with you. I was kind of sensing that when I was working on the matchups today. Zoo versus Nurk is huge.
Yes.
Pretty much the same size dudes.
Yeah.
But Nurk, little more polished offensive game, but is prone to kind of checking out when things aren't going his way.
Uh-huh.
He can get a little emotional. Zoo managed 14-7 against Horford last night, which was kind of low given the size difference board-wise.
Yeah.
I thought he was maybe going to get a double-double. But I'm hoping that Zoo can, because Zoo can get under people's skin. He's low-key, kind of an irritating guy to play against.
I think this is a matchup, too, where Zoo is going to want to show out really, really well.
Yeah.
Another European player.
Yeah. Battle of the Euros. And then we've talked about a bunch. Battle of the backcourts.
Yeah.
Shea put up 24 last time while AB kicked in a cool goose egg. So with Bev and Shea playing really well right now, it seems like, especially Beverly's defense, we just got to equal Lillard and CJ somehow.
Somehow, yeah.
Like,
and
not
I
necessarily
mean,
fully stats, because I don't think Bev has
no,
the
I think
abilities.
The biggest thing is going to just come down to stops.
Oh, and Bev had 11 assists last time, so we know that he can carve up this Blazers defense. So if Shea's distribution is kind of lacking, which we think it might be, that will be huge. Cooperman's asking, do you want to see Zoo and Trez together sometimes? Absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, I think why not? Why not go super big?
What's your prediction for this game?
I think it's going to be...
I think it's going to be close.
I guess I'm going to say... 118 to 112 Clippers.
I'm saying 115-112 Clippers.
Okay.
Yeah, going to be a nail-biter. Let us know your guys' predictions. Coming up after this break, we've taken a couple questions we got pre-show off Twitter, and maybe touched on that Russell Westbrook incident that happened.
All right, so Twitter Tuesdays, what we got? Send in your questions.
We got this one so from Yilin Yang. He always sends us questions. Shout out to Yilin Yang. He was questioning about Luke.
Mm-hmm.
He said, if Luke really returns, do you think he can get any playing time?
I am kind of in the camp that I think it might be too late for Luke.
I think if it was maybe last week, Doc knows him and trusts him enough that he'd give him some run. But I think it's just, I mean, I don't know why we don't just shut him down.
Yeah.
He's missed 66 consecutive games.
Yeah.
Or something like that. It sucks, but
I don't know.
He's just literally not contributing anything.
With 14 games left, I don't know. I mean, maybe if he can come back like within the next two games, if they can get 12 games worked out together.
Maybe it'll be like an Iguodala situation where he just like comes in for the last like 10 games and plays great defense.
I just don't see it, man. He looked a little rusty in the four games that he played. Yeah.
Even if we get him a robot knee, I think even with the robo knee, dude, he's a big dude. That's a big robot knee.
Yeah, he looked. I don't know. He just looked a little bit rusty. I thought in the games that he did play, his shot wasn't quite there like it had been.
That's the hardest thing to get back.
Yeah,
defense will be there. Seth_J_K asks us, what do you want to do with Gallinari? Move him in hopes of landing another big fish, or keep him around on the expiring?
All right, so this is interesting.
I'm saying keep that guy.
I'm in the same boat as you.
He's been so good.
If Gallo can stay healthy, I just don't know why we wouldn't keep him. There's only, what, like a year left on his deal after this?
We're going to theoretically get a max player. Best case scenario, we get a max player next year who takes off some of the burden of him.
For sure.
Which helps out.
Like, that'll lighten his load.
Will just tried to Google Gallo, which did not go well. So I think we keep him. Gallo's too good looking to not keep. Couldn't agree more, Chong.
Agree.
Matt Chong with the hot take. He's... I think it's like $23 million or something next year. With all the cap space we got, it's just like I'm fine with it. Like, it's going to be great. Should we talk about the Russell Westbrook incident?
Yeah, let's touch on that.
So first of all, if you're not Team Russ, stop listening. Like, the guy's a lunatic who is heckling Russ.
Yeah, that seems insane. There's been multiple reports of like of some pretty racial
tweets.
Stuff happening.
He's targeted him multiple times on social media. Westbrook, we don't know exactly what the guy said. We have some stuff from Patrick Patterson about just some of the things the man and his wife were saying. I'm on Westbrook's side. In the heat of the moment, he said some very intense things.
Uh-huh.
Absolutely. But I don't know what else. It's Russell Westbrook.
Yeah.
I don't know what else. You know, if he's going to go back and forth at a fan, I don't understand any professional athlete having to be held to the standard of like, sir, I actually don't agree with what you're saying about my family.
Yeah.
Like, it's absolutely insane.
It's absurd. And especially just given how direct the link of contact is.
He was right there.
Yeah. Both. And like, I don't know. To me, basketball is already like the most vulnerable sport. You know,
I like that take.
You're completely uncovered.
Soccer and basketball.
You're so close. I mean, in soccer, though, even fans are so much further away from the
game.
You're
not literally courtside.
So I just think it's hard to not take things personally, and especially when someone is, like, going down to that level.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think it's kind of BS if Russ gets fined for this.
I agree. Adam Silver, I think he's handled most giant issues of his tenure as commissioner pretty well so far.
Totally.
This is... I don't know where it ranks kind of in the impactful standpoint, you know, between like the Donald Sterling situation, which was the first thing he had to deal with.
Yeah.
It's definitely below that, but
it's just been happening a bunch this year. Obviously,
there was
the Patrick Beverley incident earlier.
There was
in the
a
season.
Fan that was touching Russell Westbrook, and Russell Westbrook was like, you need to not touch me.
And
like,
and I'm not even.
They banned the fan today.
Oh, wow.
That's fantastic. Someone just asked, what about wrestling? Yeah, different, but sure. Also vulnerable. Also, I think a wrestler would get in less trouble if they just punched a fan, an NBA player. The Jazz issued a statement saying they have permanently banned. Fantastic. That's
perfect.
Great.
Yeah.
That also doesn't seem to really solve the problem. That's great for that one fan.
There
needs to be guidelines or something released.
There is a fan guide, and people are like reminding fans that they do have like a duty
code of
conduct. Yeah, there is a code of conduct.
Every high school football game, they would give you a slip, at least in my high school, that was like, here's the things, like, you just gotta, just a reminder.
Yeah,
because it's also a paper trail to then be like, hey, idiot, we gave you this thing.
Yeah,
there's this other thing in Utah where they can give fans like warning cards. Like, it's almost like a yellow card,
uh-huh.
where, like, you leave for a minute and then you have to come back or something.
Oh, weird.
BS. It should be axed.
I just don't know who would be enforcing that.
It should be one warning, and then you're gone.
Yeah. Like, well, I think if it happens in a game, you don't even need a second chance. If you're saying something like that, you're booted.
You're
out of here.
And especially with, like, I got some guy on Twitter was like, do you think it's fair they're going through all those old tweets? And I was like, yeah, they're horrific tweets.
Yeah.
He's doing so many mental gymnastics. Kyrie Irving's praise of Doc makes me uncomfortable. That's our coach. Stay away. Hard pivot. I respect
That's
it.
That's very funny.
That kind of has some, perhaps, you know, it is Kyrie and he is a free agent.
Yeah.
We've kind of talked about it before. Does anyone listening or watching want Kyrie on the Clippers?
I personally do not.
Yeah. As far as Kyrie goes, I'm probably more realistic for the Celtics to be worried. Yeah, the Celtics do
fair.
Need to be worried.
I think that about wraps it up for the podcast.
Yeah, we can hang for a couple minutes on the live stream. Tomorrow we're going to have a hopeful victory of just another, or a hopeful recap of another victory over the Blazers.
Yep.
That would be fantastic. No game till Friday, so we'll be kind of hanging out.
Yeah.
Doing a couple front porch episodes. We'll have a What Could Have Been Wednesday. And yeah, going to be kind of a laid back day tomorrow. If you're listening, please rate, subscribe. Review us on iTunes. Just say anything, really. I've been Positive Chuck Mockler.
And I'm William the Opinion Updike. Thanks for listening, guys.